And I wrote another message. And then my mind went somewhere else. And I wrote another message. And then it went somewhere else. And I wrote another message. And then the Lord said, go back to what I told you in the beginning. That was about 10 minutes to 8 this morning. Mind you, about 5 hours I had been up already. But the question was whether I was going to follow my mind or follow the mind of Christ. Amen? And I think this morning that we need to learn to follow the mind of Christ. Amen? Because I feel like, and this has been in my spirit, that we get caught up in doing what our mind wants us to do. We want to be our own boss. But there's a song we sing that says, my life is not my own. To you, I belong. I give myself. I give myself away to you. So when you find things happening in your life, whose mind were you following? Whose ordinances were you following? Who was dictating to your spirit what you should do, to your mind, your body, and your soul? Who were you listening to? Amen? So I feel like I get beat up when I follow my own mind. Amen? We say, oh, it's my own fault. So when you find that it is your own fault, maybe you need to stop following your own mind. Amen? And sometimes I get, like we all do, a little frustrated. We want to get rid of things. You ever look around your house and say, I'm going to get rid of this, I'm going to sell this? Or somebody comes to you and they say, you know, I don't see you using that. Do you want to sell it? And they want to give you a good price. And no matter what it means to you, you know, some things have sentimental value. Some things have spiritual value. But when somebody comes along and they want to give you the right price, your mind start thinking that maybe, I could use that money. I can do all of these things with that money. But I'm here to tell you this morning that I, personally, I'm not for sale. And I think that we have been for sale for too long. And we need to change our mindset and go back where I'm not for sale. Amen? In Scripture, the devil has always come upon the saints of God to try to give them something that would take them away from the love of Christ. But I want you to know this morning that you can never ever be away from the love of Christ, because he loves you anyway. Now you can walk away and ignore it, but he still loves you. But the devil will work in your mind and have you thinking all of these things about the church, about Jesus Christ, about God, about family. And I'm here this morning to let you know, never ever think that you can walk away from the love of Christ. I went to visit somebody in the hospital the other day, and I had asked somebody who had been in the church for a little bit, and I said, well, where is this person? And as I was talking with the person, not that person, but another person, And they said that, oh, he claimed to have lost his faith. I want to make something clear this morning. If you lose your faith, you didn't have faith. If you lose your faith, you never had faith. Because the Bible tells me that faith is the substance. It is the substance. That means it is, there's something to it. There's something to behold. It's something that you can grab a hold of and don't let go. You don't have to let go of faith. You just have to trust in it. Amen. And I'm trusting in faith this morning. And my faith is letting me know that no matter what it is that I go through, that no matter what it is that this church go through, does it make a difference with my brothers and sisters, which are you, whatever it is that you go through, no matter what, I'm not going to lose my faith. I'm not going to lose my praise. I'm not going to lose it. Sometimes it might be hard, but it's doable. I want you to know that it might be hard, but it's doable. I can do all things through Christ. We've been trying to do it too much on our own. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can we give the Lord a hand this morning? The text this morning, the title, It's Not for Sale. The world believes that if they give you enough for something, enough money, enough property, enough drugs and alcohol, enough of a lot of things that they can purchase you. And here in 1 Kings, the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 3, it talks about a king that wanted to buy a vineyard. Do you know that when you're in Christ, you're in the vineyard? Amen? So the scripture says, sometime later, there was an incident involving a vineyard belonging to Naboth, the Jezreelite. The vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahab said to Naboth, let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden since it is close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard, or if you prefer, I will pay you whatever it is worth. But Naboth replied, the Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my ancestors. Lord forbid that I would give you the inheritance of my ancestors. Our passage involves a man who refused to sell the farm. This man's name, Naboth, means fruit. And he lived in Jeruz. You see, the vineyard is a type of spiritual inheritance that every child of God has. And the palace is right around our vineyard, which is the world. Ahab tells us that he would offer him a trade, a better one, or pay him whatever it is that he wants for his land. It seems like a reasonable offer on the surface. The king apparently once was a gardener. He wanted this patch of land close to his palace to raise himself. But Naboth refused the king's offer. I want to look at this refusal today. I want to talk about the reason that this man said no. I want to talk about what this passage means to us today. Because there's folks in our world who would like to take away what has been given to you by the Lord. And when they come to you, it's time for you to recognize and say no. Right now, we're too gullible to too many things the enemy has to offer. Amen? The king thought that his request was reasonable. He said, give me, and I will give you better in return. I will pay you whatever you want in cash. The world wants you to think that cash is king. Wall Street wants you to know that cash is king. I heard Sister Yvette talk about the stock market going down. Amen? It's going to go down. It's going to go up. It's going to go down. It's going to go up. That's just the nature of what it is. Amen? But when you put your faith in your stock, your spiritual stock, in the stock market, don't jump off the roof and out the window when things start happening. Amen? Because my God said he will supply. So whether you have money in the stock market or not, when you are faithful, your God will supply all of your needs. God had already told Naboth and his family that the land could never be for sale. He said that in Leviticus 25, 23 to 28. And basically he said, the land must not be permanently sold because the land is mine. I'm just putting you there and letting you live on it. And that's how we get sometimes. We get to the point that we believe what we have is ours. And we hold on to what we have. And we do what we can to keep what we have. But God said, what you got is because of me. And what you got is mine. We lose sight of that fact. That because he blessed us, we have. And when we lose sight of that, we become for sale. Not you, but your spiritual relationship with the Lord becomes for sale. What he possessed was a gift from God, and he was just the caretaker. Naboth was to keep this land and the family and pass it from generation to generation. We don't understand that when we sell our spirituality and the blessings that we have, and the blessings could be become because of somebody prayed for you, somebody helped you out when you needed a hand, and God instructed them to, and you get successful and you forgot all about that. And therefore, you lose the blessings that you got. But in order to pass things from generation to generation, your relationship with the Lord cannot be for sale. I had a praying parents, and I know people in here had praying parents, and I know people in here are praying parents, and things will go from generation to generation as long as you are not for sale. We need to take inventory of all our great gifts that have been given by the Lord. Our great gifts are not necessarily money. Our great gifts are not necessarily land. Our great gifts are not necessarily a good paying job. I look around and I see people who can't hardly walk. And I think now that health is a great gift from God. I see people who can't talk. And I realize being able to speak and to sing is a great gift from God. We know that you don't appreciate nothing until you don't have it no more. But God has given us some great gifts. Every time you walk around and somebody looks at you and you don't even know that they're looking at you, but they want what you have. They would like to have that gift that God blessed you with. You think nothing of it, but there's somebody watching you, looking at the gift that God had granted you. Sometimes we talk about our children and we call them names, but that gift would be a gift to somebody else who can't have children or don't have children. We have to remember the church, the Bible, the plan of salvation, our worship, our biblical standard, our godly heritage, are gifts from God. We need to remember that these are things that are not our own. And we can't just do as we please. Hallelujah. We're just custodians of those things. Amen. Because nobody in here is going to live forever. And we need to be able to take care of those things and pass those things on to the next generation. Amen. We are caretakers who must caretake over the things that God has blessed us with. Amen. When we have what we have, when we have, is because somebody took care of it and handed it over to us. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:1, he says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, I entrusted those to reliable people who will be qualified to teach others." God has entrusted you with certain things. He believes and he knows. He has created you to be reliable, to hand it over, to be able to teach it to the next generation. Hallelujah. If God didn't believe that you could do it, he wouldn't have gave it to you. He would not. There's a word that he says, entrust. He entrusted it to you. He didn't just give it to you, but he entrusted it to you. When you give somebody something as a parent that's worth some money, you say, "Here, I entrust this to you. I want you to take care of it. I'm not just giving it to you to do what you want with it." But there's a valuable thing that goes along with that trust, because it's in trust. If there's something that's responsible or it's valuable to you, you entrust it. We entrust, you know, when our loved ones passed away and you're laying up here or somebody's laying up here, the funeral director says, "We were proud to serve you and we're glad and honored that you entrusted." You're not going to give your deceased mother or father to just anybody. You want to make sure that they do the right thing as far as you're concerned. And they let you know, "We are so proud that you entrusted your deceased to us." Well, God has given us some things and he has entrusted it to us. We say that children are a gift. So he has entrusted that to us. There's going to be a generation following us, and we are responsible for entrusting the Bible, entrusting the Word of God, entrusting spirituality to them. Because if you don't do it, there's somebody around the vineyard that's ready to entrust things that are not of God. And he's working hard to do it. We must guard our salvation, and we do so by claiming it. If you don't open your mouth and let people know who you are, you're not guarding your salvation. Amen? Have you ever seen people being taken advantage of? Because they don't open their mouth. They don't fight back. They don't say nothing. Amen? And if you don't say nothing, the devil knows you're not saying nothing. Amen? Meanwhile, all you have to do is call on the name of Jesus, and he's going to run. You don't have to take it like a champ. Call on the name of Jesus, and he'll work it out for you. He didn't make it hard for us. We must guard our salvation. And when they change, when people try to change, this is very important, that when people try to change the gospel different from what the Bible says, you have to tell them, my salvation is not for sale. Sometimes if we don't know the Bible, we don't read the Bible, we don't study the Bible, so when somebody says something that sounds good, you go along with it, and they have brought you because they told you what you wanted to hear, not what you needed to hear, or not what God says. The Bible is still the Word of God. It said all Scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The Bible is still powerful. It says the Word of God is alive and active. It is still the truth. The Bible says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. It is still inerrant. It is still infallible. It is still inspired. I know of no other book that still inspires like the Bible inspires. I know of no other book that tells the tale of what is to come, like the Bible. I know of no other book that was written by men under the inspiration of God that speak the language of God. No other book. There's never been a bestseller outside of this book. Never has and never will be. This book, the Word of God. We guard ourselves by reading it, proclaiming it, and living it out every day. There's going to be a day when they're going to try to take your Bible. And you got to tell them it's not for sale. There's going to be a separation with churches and people who make them up. Who make up the churches. Amen. People are going to try to separate us from the Bible. From the Word of God. And you've got to tell them, be strong. You have to be strong in the Lord. And let them know that you're not for sale. When Jesus fasted 40 days in the wilderness, the devil tried to buy him. And all he kept saying is, I am not for sale. And how did he do that? But by the Word of God. He didn't tell him who he was. He just said, by the Word of God. I don't want your cities. I don't want your mountains. I don't want to rule the world. But I am, by the Word of God, a conqueror. We say, oh, I'm a conqueror. But do you live as a conqueror? Do you live as a conqueror? We spoke about at the men's meeting of sometimes people walk and they have an attitude. And the attitude says, don't mess with me. You can see the attitude from way back. We got to have an attitude of knowing that we are Christ's children. God's children, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High. So when the enemy approaches us, he already knows that there's a fight coming if he wants to mess with us. We already have to know that we don't have to fight. We step back because the battle's already been won. The victory is ours. I am not for sale. There's a thing going on around today in churches that says, to win them, we must be like them. You heard that before? To win them, we got to be like them. Amen? There's something wrong with that. I want you to know this morning, you can't win them. I can't win them. It's his job to win them. Amen? And we are separated. We are commanded to be separate from things of the world. The word separate in this sense means to mark oneself off from others by boundaries. It don't say that you can't interact with them, but what they do, you can't do. Where they go, you can't go. A sin is something offensive to the word of God. We learned that in Bible study. What is a sin? It is something offensive to the word of God. And you think it's the Bible? Yes, it's the Bible, but the Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. Amen. We need to separate those walls in our deeds and our dress, our worship and our standing. We need to guard our separation. When they tell you, you need to be just like us, you got to turn to them and say, I'm not for sale. Amen. Naboth refused because of the worth of the king. Amen. He told the king, you are not worthy to buy at any price that which I have received by my inheritance. It's not for sale. You got to tell the devil, you're not worthy. You're not worthy to receive or take away my inheritance that God has given me. Don't you know that you have an inheritance in heaven? That right now it's just trials and tribulations that we go through. But we have an inheritance, an eternal inheritance. Somebody gave me a piece of candy the other day, and I used to eat this candy all the time. And when they said it, they said, do you want one? I said, yeah. Well, the candy is a now and a later. Amen. We're so busy looking at the now, we need to start thinking about the later. Amen. We got to live our lives looking at the later and not looking at the now. Hallelujah, because the now is going to show you things to discourage you and make you think that things are not going to change and that God is not in the blessing business and God is not in the healing business and God won't do the things that he promised you. But if you do what God tells you to do, if you follow his ordinances, it's not about the now, but it's about the later. When you put your money in the bank to gain interest, you can't put it in and take it out and think you got interest. You got to wait a little while. You got to wait to get a little bit of interest. You got to wait to get that little bit of change that they want to give you. The now and the later. Nam told devil, because the king was the devil. He said, you are not worthy of taking my inheritance. I don't know what you're going through right now, but somebody's going through something. And you got to tell the devil, you're not worthy of my inheritance. You're not worthy of what glory God has got for me in the eternity. It didn't just happen in the Old Testament. It happened in the New Testament. In Acts 9 and 13, there was Simon the sorcerer. Simon practiced sorcery in every city he went in. And he amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him the attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." He is a man who practiced sorcery. You know, people follow sorcery because there are powers on this earth. That's okay. I'm telling you now. The devil has power on this earth. And he can do some things and use some people to do some things that have you thinking that this must be a man of God. And it's the devil himself. It ain't no man of God. Amen? But this man, he was running around. He was doing things and people started to follow him because he was doing what they perceived to be great things. But there was a man named Philip who was running around and he was touching people and they were getting healed and they started talking in tongues and Simon the sorcerer began to believe. And he got converted. And he went around with Philip and he was seeing all of these things. But then Simon got into himself. He said, "Teach me." He said, "Show me. I'm going to pay you so I can do the things that you do." The devil wants to pay to do the things that we do. Amen. But the Bible says that there was a man named Peter. They called him Simon. The scripture said, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. And he said, "Give me this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." You see, he saw people speaking in tongues. He saw miracles being worked. And when he saw this, he lost all of his conversion. Sometimes God will convert us or take us through things, use us. But then all of a sudden, that something that is inside of you, that spirit that you were born with, that spirit that is attached to you for life. I'm going to stop right there. I want you to know that there's a spirit that is attached to you, that you were born with it, that every time you go back and do something, it's that spirit that is inside of you, that you let your guard down on, that attacks you. Before this man got converted, he was making money, laying hands and telling people he was going to do great things for them. Well, that spirit of greed, that fake deliverance thing that he had going on there, it never left him. It was still resident inside. So when he left his guard down and start thinking about in his mind what he can do, how much money he can get, things changed. Because his mind started working on what his mind wanted. His mind left the mind of Christ. Amen? I started this morning talking about how my mind left what God wanted me to do. So I labored and labored and labored till I went back to the message that God wanted me to preach this morning. This man in his mind, his sin was all about greed. So he needed to check greed every time he turned around. Amen? Whatever spirit you got that you were born with, that sin that is inside of you, you can never take your eye off of it. You have to repent. The Bible say die every day. Why are you going to die to something that don't live in you? But you got to die to that sin that lives in you every day. I don't know what yours is, but I know what mine is. And I don't need to know yours. And you don't need to know mine. All I need to know is you die every day to it. because I die every day to mine. Simon, the sorcerer, did not die to his. All of a sudden, the enemy got a little in. And he says, give me this power also. He doesn't worry about that it was just the laying of the hands. It doesn't worry about God had given him that power. That's very important for us to understand. God gives things to who he wants to give it to. And he gives it to them freely. You cannot pay for it. Y'all know Pastor want to sing, but Pastor don't have that gift of singing like that. Amen? I could probably take all the lessons I want to, and somebody will take my money, telling me you're singing better. You're doing good now. But that's not a gift that God gave me. We got to know the gifts that God has given us. We got to know our strengths and our weaknesses. We got to work on what God has given us. Don't waste your time with something he hasn't anointed you with. Because you're wasting time. But the things that God has given you, the gifts he has given you, you need to work on that. You need to proclaim that. You need to shout it out. The song says, go tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere. Take your gift and go tell it on the mountain. And when somebody try to tell you or sell you something or give you something that's not yours, tell them I'm not for sale. This man wanted to buy the Holy Ghost. He wanted to buy the anointing. He wanted to be able to run around and do things, not for God's glory, but for his glory. We got to watch out that when we want to do things, who you doing it for? Are you doing it for God's glory? Are you doing it for your own glory? This man wanted to walk around and be known for the miracles. When God gives you that power to do things, whatever it is, nobody can take it from you. You don't have to buy it. He gives it to you freely. What happens here is my man Peter steps up to the plate. You know, Peter's a loud mouth. Peter would say things that nobody else would say. And he don't care whether it was the Lord or to somebody else. Because if he said it to the Lord, he'll say it to anybody. The Bible says that Peter said to him, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. Sometimes, I know we want to tell people, may your money die with you. Because all you want is money. You don't want nothing else. You don't want to bless nobody else. You just want money. Peter said, may you die with your money. I know there's some people I want to say to, may you die with your money. But Peter realized, you see, because sometimes we have to realize that when somebody, he said that because he was really upset that this man thought he could buy gifts from God. So his emotion took over. But after the emotion, he realized that, okay, this man's got this sin. I'm going to offer him to repent. And I'm going to offer him to pray for him. Sometimes when people offend you, when people offend your God, you don't have to get emotional and you don't have to fight them. But you got to say, you know, I'm going to offer a prayer for you. I want you to repent, but I'm going to pray for you. Because no matter how much I am offended, you offended him more. Peter took himself out of the equation. Amen. Many times Peter had to take himself out of the equation. Because when they came for our Lord in the garden, he took his sword out and cut the man's ear off. And God said, Jesus said, put it away. I didn't come here for that. And put the ear back. Jesus said, we're going to have Lord's Supper and feet washing. So I'm going to wash your feet. Peter said, nah, you're not going to do that. He says, I'm going to do this because if I don't, then you're going to have no part with me. And Peter said, okay, wash my feet, my leg, my hand, my back, my head. Clean out my ears. That's Peter. He had a sense of sometimes to get emotional over things and just act on out. And sometimes we get emotional over things and we act on out. But I just say when we act on out, let's catch a hold of ourselves. Oh, hallelujah. Catch a hold of ourselves and repent and tell the person you're going to pray for them. Because that's the devil working to take your salvation away. That's the devil working to take your inheritance away. Even here in church, people will say something to you and you'll wonder, where did that come from? And you're ready to run out of the church. And that's the devil trying to take your inheritance away. Jesus told Peter, the devil come to sift you like wheat. Some of us don't realize that the devil is coming to sift us like wheat. You're looking at the person, you need to look at the spirit. Hallelujah. You need to look at the spirit that's working inside of that person. Hallelujah. Because sometimes that spirit might be the same spirit that they have, and you just need to pray for that person. Hallelujah. We all got something attached to us. Oh, hallelujah. And the only freedom that we have is in Christ. Christ Jesus. The only freedom we have is the man who died on that cross for us can set us free from it. The only perfect person that lived and walked across this earth was the man who died for freedom, died for our sins, died that we would be able to be overcomers, to give us the strength that we need to overcome. And when you realize that, you can tell the enemy, I'm not for sale. When they try to take everything from you, because that's what the enemy's going to do, you have to tell them, buddy, I'm not for sale. This man, Nahum, he paid a price. He paid a price. The price he paid, he had somebody, his wife was, Is it Jezebel? It was Jezebel, right? Come on, I'm telling you the answer. It was Jezebel. Can I get an amen? Amen. It was Jezebel. Oh, hallelujah. The man couldn't get what he wanted because he's king. Here's the king. He couldn't get what he wanted. But his wife was a schemer. Jezebel. She said, what you laying down there crying on the bed for? What you laying down there, king? We gonna get that land. Put up a bunch of false witnesses to testify against them. Had this little false trial. They killed him. They might have killed him, but you know what? He never sold the land. His land was still inherited by his generations and generations after him. Sometimes we get killed for the things that we stand up for. But somebody once told me, either you stand up for something or you fall for anything. Right now, too many people are falling for anything. Our children are falling for anything because we ain't teach them. We didn't teach them. Hallelujah. So many of our children, they hear something that sounds good and they're gone. They don't know to test every spirit. They don't know that. And even though we know to test every spirit, sometimes we don't even test the spirit. Sometimes we got to test the spirit and war against that spirit that is attacking them. Because just how we know how our children are, the enemy knows how they are too. Amen? We need to tell them to put on the full arm of God each and every day that they go outside. Amen? Because that spirit, sometimes in little children, you can see the spirit that they have. And that spirit don't change. And I say it don't change because little children become big children called adults. And if it's not handled, it's going to be there. If it's not handled, it's going to be there. Some of us that are in here right now, the only way we survived is that we were taught. It says train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he gets old, he will never. But I say, what are they seeing? Are they seeing us being for sale? Are they seeing us being sellouts? Are they seeing that? I'm not for sale. Just because others tell you to sell your soul to the devil doesn't mean that you should. We have to take our stand as Christians and not bother with our consecrations, our morals, our faith in the supernatural God. Don't you know you have a supernatural God? There are other people that have gods of this world, but we got a supernatural God. And even those gods that are of this earth, the supernatural God that we have, he created them. Because they rejected him, but he still created them. Our supernatural God, the master, the commander, the creator. I'm saying to you this morning, hold on to your inheritance and don't lose it. Hold fast to your inheritance. Our inheritance is not a place. It's not a plot of ground. You don't let somebody give you $100,000 to sell your soul. Don't let somebody give you $1 million to sell your soul. Because that $1 million will be gone. Because if you never had it, you can't handle it. If you never had it, you can't handle it. You ever see a kid who got money that never had money? They going straight to the candy store. Straight to the toy store. Straight till they ain't got nothing left. Because they never had it. Never. If the devil were bartering you for your soul, you have to say, not for sale, not for trade, not for compromise. Look at Jacob and Esau. Oh, hallelujah. As great a person as Jacob became to be, Esau was the one. Esau was the one with the birthright. But because he got hungry, he sold it. We can get hungry for things of this world and sell our birthright. You were created to worship and to serve him. And we sell what we were created for. We sell the blessings that God has given us. We sell our birthright, just like Esau did, because we are hungry for the things of this world. I want to ask you this morning, what is the devil offering you? Because I know he's bargaining with some people in here today. I know he's trying to talk you out of one part or another part of your inheritance. What is he bargaining with you today? What is he putting on the table that's got your mouth salivating about? That you're wondering whether you can do without it. You must be able to do without it, because if God wants you to have it, he'll give it to you. He will give it to you because he owns everything. What is the devil trying to get you to surrender today? If you just give this up, I'll give you this. What is the devil trying to give you today? But Jesus commands us to hold fast with the confidence that we should have in him. In Hebrews 4 and 14, he says, let us hold fast our profession. He says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Revelation says, only hold on to what you have until I come. If Jesus and the writers of the Bible put on for us to hold fast, there's a reason that it's in Scripture. The reason is because we're going to be tempted. And temptation comes each and every day. Have somebody ever brought you something that really knows you? And you say, oh, this is so nice. This is just what I wanted. You ever said that? It's just what I wanted. But that's what the devil does to you. Because he knows your taste. He knows your taste. And if you don't watch out, you're going to be saying, this is just what I wanted. But what are you giving up for that? What are you trading in for that? If you're not supposed to have it, you're not going to keep it. If you can't handle it, you're not going to keep it. If you can't pay for it, you can't keep it. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. The devil gives, Come on, church. The devil gives. I need to hear y'all. The devil gives. Come on, church. The devil gives. Come on. Now say it with some conviction. The devil gives. And he takes it away. You know, the other day I was playing with somebody with the cake from the pastor's aide. Dennis, I was playing with somebody, and I told him I'm not giving them their cake, and I meant it. And I opened up that package to eat that chocolate cake, and it fell right out of my hand. I let the devil use me, because a person called me on the phone and said, "Did you eat my cake?" And I said, "No." Now, I'm sure they thought I was telling a fib. But it fell right on the floor. Outside. There was no 5-second rule. But if you don't watch out, the devil will give you something that you are not supposed to have, and then you're trying to hold on to it, and you're doing all of these things, you lose your inheritance. And you find out that you were really for sale. He bought you. We have to know. We have to look and examine everything that goes on. Amen? Because there's light and there's darkness. There's only light and darkness. Light and darkness. Sin, no sin. Heaven, hell. We have to be very important. And there are no gray matters. You know how people like to say, well, this one is in between. I'm not sure whether or not this is in the Bible. You need to do your research. It's in there. Is it something that God wanted you to have, or is something you wanted you to have? What is the devil offering you today? That's my question. What is he bargaining with you? What are you bartering with him? His ultimate goal is your soul. That's his ultimate goal. No matter what it is that you go through, he wants your soul. If you had the battle to come to church this morning, why you had the battle? What's the battle? What's the battle? I want to know, what's the battle? You have to ask yourself, what's the battle? What are you fighting the Lord against? What is your inner man speaking to you about? What is the devil fostering and telling you up close and personal in your subconscious? You don't need to go to church today. You don't need to go today. You don't need to show the enemy that you're going to church no matter what today. You could just sit home. You could just turn on the radio. You could just turn on the TV. You're going to hear the same thing. And I'm telling you, no, you're not. I'm telling you, no, you're not. Listen, I ain't putting no basket up here until you give me $100 and you're going to get this little napkin and you're going to be blessed. You're not getting that from me. I'm not selling no little bottles of holy water and say, drink this water. Put $200 here and then drink this water. I'm not telling you that. I'm not making no promises about what I can do. I can only promise you that I know a God that can do all things. I'm promising you that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. That's what I'm saying to you today. I'm not telling you that God is going to make everything easy for you. I'm telling you that God makes it possible for those things to happen. And I'm telling you that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called, that are called according to his purpose. And that's very important, because if you're doing something that's not according to his purpose, then you're going to complain to me all day about, well, you know, you said God blesses those who are called. You need to read the whole scripture. You need to read it thoroughly. And you need to understand what the word says to you. Because he don't do nothing unless you follow him according to his word, according to what he has ordained you to do. He's ordained people to sing, sing. He's ordained people to be missionaries, be a missionary. He has ordained people to do administrative work, do administrative work. He has ordained people to be deacons, be a deacon. And I'm not saying no names. There's a person in here right now sitting in the back that say, stay in your lane. But stay in your lane means that do what you are ordained to do. Don't cross over, because you're going to make a mess of it. You ever go to school and you tried to help your kids with your homework and they got a zero because you messed it all up thinking you knew what you were doing and you ain't know what you were doing? My kids didn't get no zero, but I remember doing long addition, long subtraction, long division. And I'm sitting up there trying to show them, and they saying, we don't do this. I'm saying, but this is the way we do it. No, it ain't. And that's the problem. You see, today the kids are doing things differently, and we want to say, this is the way we do it, but things are different today. Things are different today. They do all kind of crazy thing and come up with the answer. But if we pay attention to things being different today for them, everything is different for them today. We must preach the word of God truthfully. You got to find different ways to get it to them. Amen. To get it to them differently. That's why we got an app. Maybe they'll listen to the message on the app right now. And they're not sitting here. Maybe one day you can say, listen, why don't you just listen to the message today? You might hear something that applied to what you. When they hurt enough and they're hurting, they could go sit in that bathroom and listen to that message. They could go sit in that room with the door closed and you think they just doing like that, but they could be listening to the message. We have to reach them where they are. And we got to stop letting them sell themselves to the devil. Our children are not for sale. We are not for sale. Can you say, I'm not for sale today? I'm not for sale today. Devil, I'm not for sale today. Devil, you can't steal my joy. Somebody need to say, devil, you can't steal my joy. Devil, you can't have my blessings today. Devil, I step on your head today by the word of God. Devil, you got to go. You can't stay here. Satan, get behind me. In the name of Jesus. I declare and I decree the word of God over my life today. Over my children. Over my household. Over my job. Over my car. In the name of Jesus. The blood still works today. The blood of Jesus still works today. No matter what, it's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no expiration date on the blood. It didn't run out at the end of 2019. The blood still works. It's not going to run out in 2020. The blood still works. It's not going to run out in my lifetime or yours. The blood is still going to work. So whatever it is that the devil's attacking you about today, don't sell out. Don't be for sale. Because God is still in the blessing business. God is still in the healing business. God is still in the delivering business. Oh, hallelujah. Don't let your faith waver. Know that God is here. He is still here today. He ain't never going nowhere. The next time he comes, he's coming for us. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations. But know that he's able. Hallelujah. Know that God is able. Maybe stand this morning. Hallelujah.